Next, we have got to look at the rail transportation, especially for bulk cargo, including coal, ore, grain, and liquid. They are transported in open-topped cars, in hoppers, and tank cars, depending on the type of cargo meant to be handled. And bulk handling represents a very key advantage for rail transportation due to low or even zero transportation costs. You know, originating mine have got their own rail heads where from the mine the goods are directly loaded onto the railway wagon, and that railway wagon can move directly to the factory itself. So there is no transshipment, no dual handling by labor of those bulk cargo. And this zero transshipment costs combined with energy efficiency is what makes the handling very cheap. Handling is minimized. Next, in the same range, we have got freight trains. Normally, the trains that you see in India are passenger trains, and passenger trains also carry small quantities of goods. But for bulk movement of cargo, you have got totally freight trains. A freight train hauls cargo using freight cars specialized for the type of goods. For bulk iron and steel, you have got open top containers. For liquid cargo, you have got a liquid container for the handling the liquid. You have got flat racks for containers. And of course, freight trains are very efficient with economy of scale and high energy efficiency. You look at the quantum of cargo being carried by a train, they can carry anywhere between 40 to 50, 60 or even 100 wagon attached. Today in India, we have developed a certain freight corridor where double stacking of containers is also available, and such type of trains can carry more than 100 to 120 containers at one go and on a very fast track basis. Loading, unloading operations are very fast. Movement is single movement. This makes it very cost efficient. For containers, we have got specialized intermodal containerization of cargo. Because of the revolutionization and the supply chain industry, logistic industry in India has gained vast momentum because it is reducing the shipping cost to a very great extent. Containers can easily be transshipped to any other mode of transport, such as ships to trucks by using cranes, trucks to rail, again by using cranes. So combination of multimodal transportation has become very simple now. Added to this, for international movement of cargo, you have a system called road railer also, where rail is combined with road transport, as it allows trailers to be driven directly onto the train. As a classic example, if I give you, Konkan Railways have got this system of road railer. That means you move the goods from any interior area by truck somewhere near Panvel, etc., where Konkan Railway actually enters the Konkan region. passing through the hilly area, there is a method of loading that particular truck itself. Truck trailer carrying containers directly moves onto the railway platform and loaded on the flat rack railway system. And this road railer moves directly to a place, maybe somewhere in Karnataka, maybe somewhere in Kerala. And there, at the end of the Konkan Railway, they are similarly driven out into a platform, railway platform, at the destination. And the truck, same truck, can move into the interior area. This basically means that not containers not being unloaded from the truck and loading on the railway wagon. No. The truck itself drives into the railway wagon. Apart from this, there are other types of cars, railway wagons, which include refrigerator cars, stock cars, that means railway wagons and trucks both. This is for livestock, auto racks, especially for road vehicles. For different types of cargo, there are different types of railway wagons available, especially when you look at road railers. They can carry full cars also. Same way, we have got a railway movement of goods, of international goods, moving from India to countries where we have got a land border. For example, first we look at Pakistan. You have got the Samjhota Express from Amritsar in India to Lahore in Pakistan. And this Amritsar Samjhota Express carries passengers and goods also. Next, you have got the Thar Express between Munabao and Kokrapur. These trains also carry passengers and cargo. Next, if we look at Bangladesh, the Maitri Express plies between Kolkata and Dhaka twice a week, carrying passengers and cargo both. There's a link between Akhaura in Bangladesh and Agartala in India. Now, Agartala is Assam region, and Akhaura in Bangladesh is the last area connecting to Assam region. So from Akhaura to Agartala, there is a rail link where passengers and goods are transported from Bangladesh to Assam and Assam to Bangladesh. There is also a meter gauge link for freight, which exists between Mehsasan and Shahbazpur and between Radhikapur and Birol. These are different levels of transportation between India and Bangladesh. Next, we have got two link connections between India and Nepal. One is Raxaul border junction, that is from Bihar, Sirsia, Parsa and Jayanagar, and also from Bihar to Khajauri and Dhanusa. From these places, railway wagons move to Raxaul border. We are also now building a railway connection from Imphal in India to Myanmar directly. That means old Rangoon. Myanmar, we have got a land border and a railway line is being developed for movement of cargo between India and Myanmar. For your information, today we are the largest buyers of raw pulses are being imported into India from Myanmar in very large quantities, and normally they are carried from Myanmar port, Yangon port, to mostly Madras. But it has become a little bit difficult to move around the other parts of the country. And therefore, this railway connection which is being built up is now becoming very crucial for land movement, just like for Pakistan, Bangladesh and Nepal. We are going to have this new line connecting very shortly. Now, let us look at the dry ports. As I have explained to you before, ICD, CFS and EFS, they are all termed as dry ports. What are the basics and why are they called dry ports? Because they are similar to a seaport in all respects in the services it offers, except that it is away from the sea. Seaport is near the sea. Dry port is away in land area, but facilities of movement of containerized cargo, including custom clearance procedures, are same as being offered in a seaport. It is an inland port or a multimodal logistics center connected to a seaport by rail or road. And of course, it has got all facilities like a container yard. It has got warehouses, that is custom bonded warehouses, railway sidings, cargo handling facilities, and all other facilities for consolidation of goods, including custom clearance services, are available. The plus point over here is the hinterland location of these facilities relieves a major seaport of some workload and congestion. You know, in the past, more than 60% of all international cargo was being moved by Bombay port, including Nhava Sheva. And clearance also was being done at Mumbai and Nhava Sheva. So that created a big load on Mumbai. And therefore, these dry ports are allowing to move the goods from the gateway port in Nhava Sheva and Mumbai directly to the interior area, which are dry ports and clearance work. All other facilities are available. They are also helpful to the buyers in the interior city regions of India, who are able to immediately clear the goods and use it because the international cargo has come to their city directly. They are directly connected to seaport with high capacity transport means, where customers can leave or pick up their standardized unit as if it directly to a seaport. Movement between these two points, dry port and seaport, is always a direct movement without any break. The container or the box has lent a new dimension to logistics and provided meaning and substance to integrated multimodal concept of for cargo transshipment. That is where we are looking at multimodal transportation in international movement of goods. Here, the shippers consigning of goods not only look for speed, but reliable door-to-door services, but also for a complete logistics solution. They get a complete logistics solution in their city. And this has necessitated multimodal integration in India. A major advantage that we have over here is the reduction of transportation-related waste, which is associated with the supply chain management. The more handling of the goods by labor entails a higher volume of wastage. So this has reduced the wastage, this has reduced the pilferages, etc. And all of this has been achieved through a better linkage between different modes or within the various modes of transportation. This is also a benefit of clustering due to increased collaboration between different institutions which are undertaking functions as distributors, warehouses, manufacturing units, which ultimately provide a shared location for partners. That means industry, warehouse, and various undertakings, they have got a common shared platform as far as the international cargo movement is concerned. CONCOR is Container Corporation of India. This has been set up as a government-owned corporate body for facilitation and promotion of multimodal transport in the country. It is mainly brought into play for international movement of containerized cargo from any seaport to any dry port. And the basic objective over here is to spearhead the container revolution in the country. There was total revolution, and CONCOR operates infrastructure linkages for rapid and accelerated inland penetration of containerized international trade traffic. And it is because of CONCOR that you have got so many ICDs, CFS, air freight stations in many countries in different states. It is basically first unit, first company which started by the railways, which has given a boost to movement of cargo from seaport to dipole. Aggregated rail and road links were established with 6 of the 11 major ports. At that time, when CONCOR was established, there were 11 major ports in the country. So the first operation took place from 6 of the countries, 6 of the major ports, like Nava Sheva, Mumbai, Chennai, Cochin, Kolkata, Visakhapatnam. There were totally a group of 6 ports from where, also Kandla was there, where CONCOR established link for movement of cargo from those particular ports to various dry ports. And the entire work of CONCOR was by utilizing the extensive rail network for long haulage, and road vehicles were involved for short movement of door-to-door services. That means bulk rail movement would move from seaport to dry port, and then from dry port to the door-to-door services, it would be road services. And both of these services were handled by CONCOR. In India, we have now developed a very good infrastructure, which is known as the Delhi-Mumbai Industrial Corridor. Maximum industries and maximum movement of cargo from Mumbai to northern region, entire northern region, is through this Delhi-Mumbai Industrial Corridor. And therefore, there is a special emphasis being laid on infrastructure in this particular corridor, especially for the multimodal movement of goods. Why? This choice is dictated by the efficiencies and economies of transportation. Economies of scales are being put into practice now. The DMIC project stretches in 6 states, covering at least 20 potential high growth economic zones to serve as manufacturing services, manufacturing hubs, and export-oriented units. It will help manufacturing for local consumption and also for export-oriented units. It will create a chain of free trade warehousing zones. There are warehousing zones available at various places along this corridor. There are freight logistic parks developed in this particular corridor with rail network and road connectivity. And therefore, the hinterland potential for export-import container traffic, which is handled at ports in India, is estimated to be at least 70%. That means 70% of the goods will move into the interior areas, that is the dry ports, which have started coming up in most of the major cities in India. Especially this Delhi-Mumbai industrial corridor will move 70% of the cargo within this corridor itself. The market for containerized cargo in intermodal transport has changed radically in recent years. Of course, you young generation may not have heard movement of cargo in small packages, etc. You must be seeing containers everywhere, here, there, everywhere, container movement. And because of the safety aspect of the cargo, a containerized movement has become an essential part of international trade. Major manufacturers go further offshore to capture low labor costs, low taxes, better market accessibilities, and other advantages which are available. They are able to go into the interior region, into the backward region for production of their goods so that the production costs are minimized. And once the production costs are minimized, we become more competitive in the international market. So we increase our export share. Rides is another firm originating from the railways. Railways have got a subsidiary company known as Rites, which is a multidisciplinary consultancy organization under the administrative control of Ministry of Railways. And this was accorded the responsibility to undertake a study on rail container movement in India. And the first suggestion which came from Rites was the resulted in Concord being made operational. The main objective of the study was to identify capacity constraints and formulate policy guidelines for opening the sector to private operators. Now, Concord was originally only a government concern, railway concern. But now Rites has made a study by opening the sector for private sector people also, and therefore private participation has already started as far as such type of movement of goods are concerned from seaport to dry ports. The private sector logistics service providers were granted licenses to operate block container trains on pan-India basis. That is, the private logistic company would take on hire the platforms, railway platforms, and also the dedicated movement areas of the railway lines from the railways, and all other operations they would do privately by the private company, not Concord. And that has had a multiplying effect on movement of such international trade cargo. Due to lack of adequate infrastructure, such as rail terminus, container rail wagons, they are forced to enter into alliances with public sector competitors and pay a charge for usage of the rail terminus. Now, mind you, over here the crucial factor is that our entire railway network in India is managed by the Ministry of Railway. We do not have any private railway lines in India at all. But the first private railway line developed in India was just a few years back. That is the Mundra Railway from Mundra Port to a part area in Rajasthan and Gujarat. And that is a private railway system by the Adani Port SEZ. So that was a private railway network created because railways did not have their own network in as far as Mundra Port is concerned. And today Mundra Port has become one of the most important port as far as North India is concerned. So that infrastructure is now being built privately also. But till today, I would say 99% is all Ministry of Railways. And railways are leasing out their facilities slowly to private partners. Now, when we are looking at the entire multimodal transportation of goods, especially my stress now is only on international trade and not local movement. Here in India, we have got a new act. Previously, for multimodal international transportation, we were using only the liner bill of lading or the IATA-based airline airwebble. But Indian government enacted the Multimodal Transportation of Goods Act. And this act has provided for regulation of multimodal transportation of goods from any place in India to any place outside India by availing two or more modes of transportation on the basis of a single multimodal transport contract. So it basically means that instead of having only a liner bill of lading for same movement of cargo, you have got a multimodal transport bill of lading. As far as airway bill is concerned, you can now use the same multimodal transport document for part airway bill also. It is because of this particular regulation. And this regulation has been imposed to ensure that only companies which have necessary expertise, they have the necessary infrastructure, and most important, financial capabilities. Only such companies are allowed to undertake multimodal transportation. It cannot be any Tom, Dick and Harry entering the picture. No, you need a sufficient level of expertise, infrastructure, financial backing. The exporters, importers feel that this facility of door-to-door delivery gives them a sense of security in transporting their goods. Here, under this Multimodal Transportation Act, there is a total security involved in door-to-door movement of the goods by a single transport document. This has resulted in reduction of logistic cost, which is one of the important aspects of multimodal transportation. And thereby it has made exporters' products more competitive in the international market. Yes, transaction cost has been reduced because movement under a single document. This document has been prepared for carrying out the objectives of the Multimodal Transportation of Goods Act that carriers are there to serve trade. That is the Multimodal Transport Document. Such type of document, when it is issued, it acts as a contract for transportation of goods by multimodal transportation. That means two or more modes of transport. just like a bill of lading or airway bill, it is also a negotiable document, unless it is marked as non-negotiable at the option of the consignor. It is also a document of title on the basis of which the holder of that document can take delivery of the goods covered in that particular document. That is, details of the bills of lading are incorporated into the document. And today, those who register themselves as multimodal transport operators, they themselves can now issue a uniform multimodal transport document as a negotiable instrument as per this particular act. And all the banks, especially international banks or banks having AD code registration, who negotiate import-export documents, they will have no difficulty in discounting the bills because it has got a legal backing equivalent to a sea leg of bill of lading or air leg airway bill. It has now got a legal backing. We have multimodal transport operators, the parties having commercial interest who would be governed by the document once it is executed. They would be required, that is MTO, who is a person responsible for execution of the multimodal transport contract. You know, your bill of lading also is a contract. Your airway bill is also a contract under various international conventions. But the multimodal transport document is a contract as per the MMTG Act. And multimodal transport operator is the person responsible. Of course, that operator would be registered under this act. He would be responsible to execute this multimodal transport contract. The consignor who places the goods in question with the multimodal transport document for transporting the same, and the consignee who is to take delivery at the destination, these are the entities who enter this particular contract. The bankers also would provide mechanism for documentary credit. That means today, documentary credits will show that multimodal transport document is a valid document for negotiation under international trade. Again, insurance plays a very crucial part because this is a door-to-door method of delivery. So insurance has also got to be on a door-to-door level. And insurers who insure the goods against loss or damage and also the liability, such insurance who would cover the MTO's liability, they would also recognize this document. Once the multimodal transport operator executes this document, that is multimodal transport document, he immediately assumes the role of the owner of the goods. That means when he takes delivery, he becomes the owner of the goods. This is especially more required because of insurance purposes also. Thereby authorized to exercise all the rights as that of the owner for claiming damages, etc., etc. Vicarious liability, as far as insurance is concerned, is taken over by the multimodal transport operator. Now, this is having a standard conditions which are governing this multimodal transport of goods. The MMTG Act has laid down standard conditions governing multimodal transportation of goods. Now, I will not go into all the details of this act, but in short, in a nutshell, I'm trying to give you some of the aspects of the standard conditions which are applicable. Why? Because these standard conditions give clear definitions so that all concerned parties in different countries are aware of the meaning of various terms which are as understood under this Act. Especially the limits of liabilities, they are clearly spelt out in the conditions of this document. Conditions of notice of loss, damage, delay, they have been set out very clearly in this particular document as a contract. And also the provisions of liens, limitations of actions, jurisdiction, general average clauses, etc., which are applicable to the sea movement of the goods. That means those aspects which are covered by the liner shipping companies, they have also been incorporated as a standard condition over here. The multimodal transport document is a commercially negotiable document, and this will also be the basis for a contract of carriage. Now, there is a separate contract of carriage for road, rail, etc., etc. Previously, they were also covering the sea part of it, but today, under this Multimodal Transportation of Goods Act, the MTD document, based on the standard conditions, is giving the same leverage of contract of carriage. Especially by a uniform liability regime for all types of multimodal transportation of goods. Thank you.